The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Hey, this is Grant Wilson from Ghost Hunters, and if you ever have time that you never want to get back, spend it listening to Mike and Dave on the Odyssey Files.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Oh, never mind. There we go. Whoa. Sorry about that. is it Monday?
It is Monday.
Yeah. I'm just going to throw all pretense of doing this like every single week and just, yeah, admit that I screwed that one up. And the only reason that I did that is it looked like my producing program, Sam, wasn't actually playing my voice across the air. So I was like, yeah, I'll just stop because there's no point. And then as soon as I stopped, it started sending everything. So
yeah, we'll just sit here and stare at each other and start typing and start talking about frivolous things that don't have anything to do with the show. And then look down and go, oh, hey, oops, wait a minute. I think we might be live. It's happened.
I thought you were going to go the other way and just be like, we would do like 10 minutes of the show before we realized we weren't on.
No. But we could have done that too, because I think we've done that before too.
So, well, that was the very first episode when it kept cutting out on us.
Yeah, that was an awful show.
But
that was an awful show.
The radio gods are with us because we have a very phenomenal guest here tonight.
Again,
he has made his return finally.
Yes,
we have been trying to schedule him for the last couple weeks. And due to the fact that it was Halloween and everybody was off the charts busy, could not happen until right now. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Chad Lindbergh.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. We're back.
We are back. And even though I'm going to say this, and nobody else that is listening will have any idea what I'm talking about, the difference on my screen between your video chat and Dave's is it's like night and day. Like, Dave, you're like blurry. You're like, I need bifocals to see you. And
me?
Chad, you're crystal clear.
Wait a second. This is high def, man.
No, you were definitely, you were like 1980 sitcom right now.
Yeah.
This is 1080p HD. Hold on. It says it right on there.
Yeah, definitely no. 86, 89.
Still bad?
Maybe give him early 90s, maybe.
All right, I'll take 90s. That's fine.
That's all right. Because it's
the quality of my laptop is what it is.
I was going to say, because your voice is still crystal clear.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Anyway, Chad, how you been?
I've been good. I've been busy, and thanks for making time for me. Finally, it was the right time. You know, we're coming up on the holidays. You know, nice. You know, it's Thanksgiving soon. You know, it's nice.
It is nice.
3 days.
This week. I was going to say a couple days away. Right.
We are
nice. Nice short work week. I love that.
It is.
Woke up this morning and I was like, "Ooh, yeah. Let's see. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then 4 days of football and eating turkey and going into a coma." Right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, that may be you guys. I will be spending Thanksgiving probably by myself. Sad face.
Oh, I'm making a sad face. You just can't tell because it's from the '90s type of sad face.
That is true.
And it's pre-emoji sad face.
It's a pre-emoji sad face from the late 80s.
Okay, paranormal. So, Chad, one of the things that the first week we wanted you to get on way back. Well, I shouldn't say way back. It was like 2 weeks ago. But you did an event down in Texas that I really was interested in. Tell us about like the location and especially the claims, because I don't know anything about this place.
Yeah.
But it looked really, really cool.
It was one of the cooler places. That, I mean, I love every place that I go to, but this one, I had never been to Texas before to do an investigation, you know, one of these ghost hunts. And I was asked by Weird Weekends to go down and do an event. And of course, all the really cool places, when you land somewhere, you have to drive at least 2 to 3 hours to get there. You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Every time. And you go out to this Ballinger, Texas, and it was it's called the Old Park Hotel. And it was this, it was a brothel back in the day, amongst nice. Other things. Yeah. Haunted, man. We had a lot of activity. We had they liked to throw stuff there. There was a lot of things being thrown. I had and I asked for it. I had pebbles being thrown at me, rocks being thrown at me, constant communication all night. And even so, I when we got there, we chose our rooms because we actually slept in the location, and a team that had what I was with all kind of chose like rooms that were like near each other. And of course I chose the one that was near the long fucked up hallway. So but as the time went on through the night, we started, and I was getting spooked. I was getting wigged out. Usually I like to say, when I'm getting wigged out, it's like, I'm kind of, you know, not losing control, but you're in it. You're in deep, you know? And as we were going along, and I had one of my devices out, I was having the conversation about, where are you going to be tonight? And they kept saying, your room, we're going to be waiting for you, you're effed. Everything that I was saying, they were sort of adding to this. And the owner, you have to go to this place. If anybody has a chance to go to Ballinger, Texas, please, they do ghost hunts there, and you must go. They do walkthroughs. You can actually stay. Rent the place out and stay there. So I ended up, by the end of the night, I was so worked over that I ended up leaving that room and going to another room that was near everybody so I could sleep, because I knew in the room that I had chosen originally was surrounded by all these little extra like spaces. So there's nothing but noise happening around me, I'm sure. And it's like they were waiting. So I had to go turn off my mind and actually sleep somewhere else. That's kind of how spooky and haunted and intense it was there for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you did the switcheroo. So basically, you got them all riled up, and you told them where you were going to be sleeping, and then you kind of snuck out of there and left them all wondering where the hell you went.
They were so specific as to tell me where they were going to be, who they were going to be with. And I'm sure they were having fun with me, but I also believed it. And I heard a lot. There were a lot of female prostitutes that were actually coming through. So when I do these events, I have to turn off my brain at the end of the night. You know, I kind of want to go to the least haunted part of the building to sleep, because I gotta turn it off. And you know, sometimes a lot of the time, depending on the night where I'm at, I'll have to turn on the TV. I have to give my mind something else to focus on, because silence is a killer when you're doing these things and you're trying to go to bed because you're so tuned in anyway.
Yep.
So all you hear is just everything that's going on.
Yep.
No, I completely agree with you on that one. In fact, the very day, the afternoon of my very first investigation with Dave, which was like 8 years ago, I went out and bought a fan because I knew
that's a good idea.
After I went out, I would never be able to sleep in silence again because the simplest creak of a floorboard was going to send me to the ceiling.
Oh yeah.
Yep. That's what I was going to say too. It's the travel with fans, baby.
Yeah.
Always travel with a fan. Cause that white noise is beautiful.
Have not slept with a fan since.
And thankfully, I use Alexa now to, to sleep as well. So
nice.
Wait, you can do that? Alexa's play white noise?
Yeah. So if you open up Alexa and you say open sleep sounds, like I use it every night, and they do like waterfalls, and they do like rain and rain on tent and like all these really amazing things. So I use it nightly. I strongly suggest it.
Okay, so
wow.
I gotta ask. Rain, waterfalls, and rain on tent. How many times a night do you get up to have to pee? Like 12, 14 times a night?
Not that much. I'm from Washington, so I love the rain. And
gotcha. Okay.
But I also don't like the pressure when you have to pee. Like, who likes that pressure? I don't.
Yeah.
If I'm trying to sleep hard, I don't want to sit there and think about how much I have to pee. I want to get it done and go back to bed.
Gotcha.
No wonder you stay so thin. I mean, you're probably like 75% water. I might have to buy an Alexa now.
You do, but they're so much fun. You have to.
So I got to know, has yours ever done the satanic laugh
creepy
thing?
Creepy laugh?
Because I haven't heard it myself. I don't know if it's like really happens or if that's just something people set up just to kind of make themselves look funny or whatever. But I mean, have you ever heard that?
I want to say yes. Something happened in the middle of the night. And it went off. But then I always go to like, my mind always goes to like, who and what is in this house with me?
Right.
it always goes paranormal first and then,
logic second.
Yeah, exactly. Like, especially out of a sleep.
Yeah.
Have you ever, I wonder if anybody, especially you, have you ever asked Alexa if she believes ghosts could use her?
No, that's a good idea. They can make him play Alexa.
Huh. Yeah. I almost want to buy one just so I could ask that question.
You do need one. You do. Dave, do you have an Alexa?
I don't. I've got the Google
Google version. Home?
Yeah, the Google Home one that I got for $20 last year. But I saw Alexa's only $20 this Black Friday. I think I'm going to buy one.
You must.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then next time we have this, we'll talk more. You'd be like, you're so right about Alexa.
Yeah, and I tell you what, the impressive thing about that Google Home puck, it's like the size of the JVC pucks that we use, Mike, the micros. The thing has got sound quality with, like, depth of bass and, like, it sounds, for this little tiny puck that doesn't weigh anything, it sounds really nice.
Sounds good.
Like, music-wise.
Hook it up to a speaker and then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, nice.
All right, so are we getting paid for promoting all of this, by the way?
I think we are, yeah, I think.
Are we getting royalties off of the show for?
Should
we should get a free one at least? It's only $20.
Yeah, I mean Black Friday would be $20. Right. No, I'm just somebody's microphone is acting crazy.
Is it mine?
I don't know.
Maybe you're gonna lose my signal. I don't know.
No, it's not that. It's not that you're cutting out. It's that it sounds like somebody was like rubbing. And now, I was going to say now it's gone, but now it's back. But it sounds like somebody would be, rubbing the microphone. But none of you guys have one of those type things. So.
No. Mine's in front of me.
Maybe it's a spirit coming through?
Could be. Wouldn't be the first time.
You did ask if they could manipulate Alexa, but it sounds like it's manipulating this.
Yeah,
wouldn't be the first.
Skype.
So
yeah, it would not be the first.
So,
yeah.
Hold on, I'm gonna ask it to stop real quick just to see.
All right.
If there is a spirit messing with this equipment, could you please stop? Okay.
Nope.
It's not you. It's me or Mike. you're clear. Chad's clear. All right. It's one of us. Okay, well let's get into a question. Can we get into a question? Because I got a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually have a question that deals with what we were just talking about. Not Alexa or anything. I mean
from the hotel. We're going back to the hotel.
Yeah.
Well, of course. Okay. Well, it has to do with the hotel.
Okay.
And it has to do with events in general.
Okay.
Because the one I'm seeing them pop up all over Twitter. Everybody is doing events.
Yeah.
And at this place and that place and beautiful graphics that I could never in my entire life think, you know, be able to create. But in, you mentioned Weird Weekends, and I know there's Strange Escapes, which is Amy and Adams thing, I believe. And there are a lot of these companies now. I've even been contacted by a few that like to set up these events.
Right.
How does that process actually work? Do you choose? I mean, do you say, I want to do this and I'm going to create an event? Or do you get contacted like what Weird Weekends did and they say, we want to do an event here. Would you like to attend?
It's a little of both. For the most part, you know, I get invited, you know, to go out to these different places to investigate with different people that are putting on these events. So I feel blessed that I kind of get to go and learn from everybody, and I feel like I'm cool with everybody, and we have a good time. You know, a lot of it goes with you have people that do the research and are out there finding the locations. And I believe a lot of the time the location has a way of getting you there. I think the spirits and whatever's going on there has a way of pulling you into these places. And, you know, not a lot of the time when you go in, you know, they know your name before you even tell them. So I think it's all connected in that way. I think when I go somewhere, I know that I'm meant to go there for whatever reason, talk to whoever's there and work it out. But I think it's a team thing. You know, I think, you know, it takes a team effort to go and figure out the place and then make sure that everybody has a quality time. And, you know, you can never guarantee that you're going to have activity. But, you know, I always want to make sure that people have the best experience possible. And there's always the possibility that something could happen and that you can learn a tremendous amount about you know, being around other investigators. And so, and then I've put on my own events, and sometimes you just gravitate towards places that you want to investigate, you know, sort of your dream list. And then you've got the places that keep calling you back. And then sometimes that's not necessarily a good thing. So sometimes you got to be like, no, I'm good on that place and I don't need to go and put myself in those positions.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So I got to ask you, and I was kind of laughing, and I don't know if you could see me, I was kind of laughing when you said that, when you said this comment, is that that the spirits know you and know your name and that you end up going to these locations because you're meant to be there. It's almost like a destiny type of thing.
Yeah.
The first time that you showed up at a location and either heard your name or however it was the first time you found out that all of a sudden you're being spoken to like they already knew you, what was your reaction to that?
Well, the first time that happened for me is when they had me on Ghost Adventures, and it was that night that I heard my name come through a device for the first time. And back then it was all kind of, they were, you know, not everybody was doing it, and I didn't have any equipment of my own, and I remember hearing that, and I remember hearing Zach say, just said your name, and it did, and I you know, between that scratch that night, and then that was sort of the turning point for me, like, how do they know your name, you know? And then I think once they get to know you, you know, your light gets bigger. And you sort of become this weird celebrity on the other side. I've actually heard a few times, I've had one spirit say, is that Chad Lindbergh?
Nice. Yeah.
First and last name. And it's really strange. And you're like, well, how in the hell do they know? You know?
Yeah. 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 It kind of goes hand in hand with something that I've been talking about for a long time. And Mike knows this too, is that it's kind of like the first time that you see your first entity and you look at them and they look at you. And you know that they're looking at you. It's not like a casual passing glance. It's like they're looking at you,
yeah.
Right? So however that happens, however that can possibly happen between our two different realms, it's this instant bonding thing. And yeah. I've been to so many locations where I get, hey, Dave. Oh, hey, it's Dave. Hi, Dave. And all this other stuff. And I'm like, hi, guys.
Yeah.
It's great to see you again.
Yeah.
You know, who am I talking to? You know, where did we meet before? I mean, I'll just instantly start trying to figure out who it is, because I find it fascinating that that they are kind of like welcoming me to their party.
Yeah.
In a way, you know?
I don't know how they know.
I don't either, but it blew me away when I found that that was happening too.
Yeah, it makes you think.
I remember, Dave, you and I have had a couple investigations where, you know, it's kind of quiet. And you especially have been like, you know, if you don't know who we are, you know, go ask some spirits, you know, because we're really popular over there.
Yeah, I have said that.
they'll tell you we're trustworthy guys.
Yeah, I've said that. Yeah.
And but Chad, do you think that not so much that it's the same entity, but I know like Grant Wilson has talked about the, you know, this global consciousness that we have. And I believe that there's some very, very good evidence to support that. But on the other side, do you think that it is just kind of one big energy organism, and that when we do interact, I guess, and we do learn about different spirits, that they all know?
No, I don't think they all know. I, and this is the thing, you know, who knows really, you know, who knows? And then one thing that was interesting that was talked about a lot this weekend, and I had the pleasure of just going to like hang out. I wasn't actually working at the Strange Escapes up in Mount Washington. I just got to hang out with friends, but interesting, you know, hearing John Tenney and Grant Wilson and a lot of them talk about that they were coming across spirits in the past or in the future that were all sort of crossing over each other at some point, that possibly were haunting a whole nother time zone or a whole nother period, a whole nother realm, and it's we're the ghosts, you know. So I'm trying to expand, so I'm thinking a lot about that stuff and what that means. And that was something that was talked about on Ghost Stalkers when the ghost told me to be a man. We also discussed that maybe that was me. Maybe that was me at some point. And so who knows? I just, you know, and there's so many, yeah, a lot of them know your names and then a lot of them don't. And it's kind of like the world we live in. They just, I don't know. I don't know. It's, we're not meant to know. That's the crazy thing.
Right.
And something I even mentioned to John this weekend, I go, even with the stuff that we know, or that we're not, that we know that we're scratching the surface, we still don't know. We're never even going to get to the, you know, we don't know. When we die, I think it's going to be completely different than what we expect.
Yeah, I think so. And I think there's probably a reason why we don't know.
Exactly. We're not meant to.
Yeah, I mean, there's some, like, master plan that, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe we couldn't handle the truth, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, maybe it's so powerful, like, the actual truth, like, this global consciousness is such an amazing, like, a nuclear power type of thing, where if you did tap into it too early, maybe you would just disintegrate, dissolve, maybe just cease to exist. Maybe it's just that powerful, you know?
I think that's a little extreme, but that maybe. We would just spontaneously...
Well, remember, we're not on camera, so I mean, I have to kind of visually paint it for the audience. You know, verbally paint it for the audience, so... Yeah.
Well, I don't think you could visually just cease to exist in order to prove your point.
Well, yeah, that'd be tough, because then unless somebody was standing there documenting it, you would just be another story. So
yes, you would, but then my new co-host Chad and I could talk about spontaneous combustion.
Well, that would be amazing, because I would be sitting there tapping your microphone the whole entire show just to be an ass, just scratching it, just tapping on it lightly.
Go ahead. Oh, I was gonna say, well, then going back on what we were just talking about with Chad mentioning how we're crisscrossing time zones and time areas or whatever you want to call them. Maybe that was one of us.
Right. Maybe.
Right. Right. Who know? Who knows? You know? I don't think we're meant to know. And we're certainly like, and I think about this, especially when I'm in a really haunted place. I'm like, think about if I could see what's truly standing around me, we would literally go into shock. Bodies could not handle that. Ghosts. No. Whatever's going on in that place. No. If it was truly, I mean, it's probably just like sitting like right up against your face and you don't know.
You know, I've got an absolutely ton of respect for Amy Allen, but I have absolutely no desire to see what Amy sees. None whatsoever. I don't want to see it. I don't want to walk into a room and have 43 different entities and different, you know, maybe like one of them that was in a fire and that's how they choose to still look because they're angry about being burned to death. And then, you know, I don't want to see all that.
Yeah, that's got to be intense.
No, I mean, how do you flush that away? You need more than Alexa's white noise on that app for that.
Yeah, and I've met Amy and I've heard her talk about it. And, you know, I think a lot, some people probably press that down and run from it for a while. You know, if they experience it at a young age, because that's not normal.
No,
it's not normal, you know, but I think it's a gift. And I think if people can grow into that and help people and help spirits and then like she has, you know, that's amazing. But I agree with you. That's a lot to handle.
It would be a lot to handle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do we want to throw a question out or do we want to do an early commercial break or what do we want to do?
No, let's go one more question.
Okay. So, all right. So I've got a question. So the difference, tell us a little bit, like what's the toughest part when you started doing the show on VidiSpace? So Chad Lindbergh's Badass Celebrity Ghost Hunt.
Right.
Versus, so you do that show live, correct?
Yeah, that show is live.
Live. Okay. So comparing that to, let's say, the event you went to this weekend, let's say it was being recorded and then it was going to be going through edit and production. And, you know, obviously it would take however long it's going to take for a team to sit down and do all that. What's the toughest part for you and or your guests about being in a situation that's live like that versus being able to go back and take your time and go through stuff?
Well, you know, it's interesting because live, you know, that's kind of how it is. People can kind of see, like, it's not always going to, like, on TV, it's like, boom, boom. You got the cuts and you've got the cool music. And what people don't see is all of the stuff that goes into that in between and the hours where you're sitting around and nothing's happening, you know? So, and when we shot the show, there were plenty of things that were happening in the moment and people could you know, chime in. So it has its advantages, you know, as well as when you do an event, you can kind of settle into the place for a while and get to know it. Sometimes you can stay there and then you kind of fall into its energy, you know?
Yeah. All right. Do you like doing it live? I mean, do you find it tougher? Do you personally find it tougher?
It's just different.
Not necessarily more difficult, just different in how it's approached and different on how reactions are. Bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you feel like a pressure or maybe even a frustration when there's nothing happening? You know, you're live, you know, people are watching this and they're expecting, you know, pebbles to get thrown at your face and stuff like that. And they're expecting, you know, this wild reaction to, you know, a knock on the other side of the, so when nothing is happening and you know that that's something that happens on all investigations.
Yeah.
Do you feel, I don't want to say bad, but do you feel like a responsibility to try to do something or even a like, I'm sorry, nothing's happening to the camera or whatever.
Yeah, well, you know, it just in general at events, I'm also a performer as well. So I have a knack for the theatrics as far as just presentation. But when we get into it, man, I throw myself into the investigation. I forgot where I was going with this.
I think you're kind of headed towards you personally can turn on the entertainment side of you and kind of keep things rolling, you know, as opposed to somebody who doesn't have that skill set.
I always tell people we cannot expect anything to happen, you know. I feel very confident when I go into these places that I can get any sort of reaction, no matter what it is, anywhere I can get some sort of something going on. But yes, I do feel a responsibility. And I, for me, I always keep the energy up. And that, again, I'm going back to the performer in me. It's like I keep the energy up. I want people to feel like, no, something could happen any moment, and it could. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
As well as educating them, as well as seeing how they're feeling as well. I make sure that everybody's involved. You know, when I do my events, I walk around, I mingle, I don't stand around. I like to get my hands dirty, and I expect everybody to do it with me and to be open. If you're not open, then what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I can't say I particularly like leaving myself open, but
no. I can agree with that.
but I have gotten better the more I have learned.
Right.
So and like I think everybody in this field, I am constantly learning.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So all right. Now it's commercial break.
All right.
So then, yeah. Since I didn't actually get to the point where I introduced myself or Dave, I'm going to do that right now. So you're listening to the Odyssey Files on Parex with Michael O'Neill and Dave Sawyering. We'll be right back here in a couple seconds. I'm just going to play some commercials for you. You're welcome.
UFOs, Bigfoot, cryptids.
All of this on the call. You think it's you listening to the words of our ex.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Rat, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rat, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rat, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line!
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, it's Chris Fleming. More painful than a Tyrannosaurus Rex stepping on your testicle. Listen to Dave and Mike on Odyssey Files.
All right, and we're back. And so happy you were not part of the last 30 seconds of our conversation.
Off the air.
Not on the air. But, yeah, so we're back. And we have Mr. Chad Lindbergh with us. And, yeah, I'm having a lot of fun. This is actually really, really good. It's not so much that Dave asked a really deep question. I just sit back and listen. Like this is like an actual good discussion. I like it.
Yeah.
So, Dave, go.
Yeah. Okay. So, Chad.
Yeah.
Nothing is off limits. Okay. So location wise, nothing off limits. Whether you maybe it doesn't exist anymore. Whatever. Okay. But your top three haunted locations on your bucket list, and why are they your top three?
Okay, definitely Stonehenge, because, you know, it's got a lot going on, and how did those rocks get put up there? And there's a lot of alien, you know, supposedly a lot of alien people have had a lot of sightings, and it's a very spiritual place. So I would like to go there at some point. I've been saying this for a long time before it became super famous for the wrong reason, but Suicide Forest definitely has always been kind of on my list to kind of, you know, go and walk through, and I don't know. It's just kind of been one of those things. What else? I would like to go back to Whispers Estate at some point. Sort of, it's one of the episodes that we shot on Ghost Stalkers, and I don't know. I'm after this weekend and talking to everybody. I kind of want to go back and see. I don't know if maybe that was me haunting me. There's something, I don't know, pulling me back there. God, what else, man? Oh, what is the name of? It was on Josh Gates' show years ago. What is
Island of the Dolls?
No, the guy that got pulled out of the circle, the crew member that got yanked out of the circle. They were like,
was that the forest?
Yeah.
The Hachu something forest, right?
What is it? It's in Romania. Yeah,
it's in Romania. It's the Hrachu or something like that forest.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Well, if Lindsay's there, you get her on as well.
She's hiding in the background. Yes, no, absolutely. I would love to go there too. That I didn't even think of that, but that would be phenomenal. Yeah, where the guy got grabbed. Hey, Lindsay.
Way to photobomb our guest.
Speaking of photobombs, if I may say so, this weekend, my buddy, Ty Olson, who's also Ty Gowan. I'm sorry, another Gowan.
You're my new best friend.
I know another guy who's an actor. Ty Gowan from Pawnee.
Yep.
God, now I forgot where I was going again. Photobombing, yes, thank you. There's so much going on. We're covering so much. So we chose to photobomb a few people, and we got called out. And the people taking the photo, they were like, okay, come on, guys, come on. Getting us out of the photo. And I'm like, first rule of photobombing is you don't etiquette. Well, the etiquette is that you don't tell somebody when they're being photobombed. Right. As the picture taker, you cannot say anything.
No, that breaks protocol right there.
Yes, yes. And we're not having it. So we decided we're going to photobomb. I don't know why we're talking. This just headed towards photobombs. So do not. You're taking a photo and somebody photobombs. Don't say anything. Let it ride.
Yes. 100%. Because you can always take another photo 8 seconds later.
Yeah.
And or 2 seconds later. It's not like your phone. It's not like you got a 35mm film camera and that was number 24, baby. I can't believe you just did that to me. You know? No. You got a phone. You can take 8,000 pictures in 35 seconds.
Totally. It's not like they're burning through film, you know, that we used to use in movies. Like,
right. Right. Hey, wait, let me, oh, look at that. I had the perfect manual focus on this lens down, and you jumped right, I can't believe it. I'm going home early.
Well, yeah, haunted places. See, that's where that question took us, was towards photobombing and the etiquette behind it. Nope, not intended. But, yeah. Those are places that I want to go to. And I feel, you know, very lucky that I keep getting invited to new places, and it's just going to keep going. I would like to go international and start really exploring castles and all that fun stuff.
Absolutely. That would be great. Old Scotland, you know?
Exactly.
Like, get out to some of those ruins and some of those, you know, 500, 600, 700-year-old castles, and just because you know stuff's still lingering around. There had to have been some energy explosion at one time that left an imprint there. Whether it was a battle or whether it was whatever, you know, and you know, they're still there.
Absolutely. And I also think that this is an energy explosion right here, all of us right now. This
it could be.
Yeah, it is.
This is definitely going to leave an imprint on the Para X server. I can guarantee you that one. People will be haunted by this show for a very long time to come.
But in a good way, though. Absolutely. Positive haunting, not a negative haunting. So.
I do have a question about what you just mentioned about yourself at Whispering. Yeah. Whispering Estate.
Whispers. Yeah.
Whispers Estate, yes. Because that's actually the second time that I have heard a person talk about the theory of their future self coming back and interacting with their past self.
Yeah.
So my question is, for the sake of argument, let's say that that is correct, that it was you on that recorder saying that to you.
Right.
Why do you think you would your future self would have chosen then to come back and interact with your past self, and why would it have chosen to tell you that?
Because once, you know, that was the second episode that we filmed. The first one, we went to a huge hospital, and that was scary. And then we filmed the episodes back to back to back. And so we went to Whispers Estate, and I remember we were filming, and I literally got punched in the chest that day. And from that moment, and I knew I had to go in by myself that night. So it was working on me all day long. And that place is crazy. You walk in, you feel like you're on a rocking ship. And, you know, of course, what the cameras don't show is all of the torment that I had before I had to go into this place. And it was so terrifying to me that I threw up. I got sick. John Tenney must have talked me down for about an hour before I actually got the courage to go into this place, because it was unlike anything I had ever experienced or felt. So my fear was at a height that I had never experienced before. And so I went in and I was legitimately scared to my gourd. And so I asked those questions and I was really terrified. And then I played it back. And when it said, "Chad, be a man," if you look at that moment, I can tell you that's probably the most profound changing moment in my career, not career, in my paranormal journey. You see my face contort from absolute terror and dread, and then it goes into a confidence, because I took that to heart and I'm like, well, okay, you know, fuck it, I can do this. And from that moment, I went through the whole house and I conquered the whole thing. And that taught me a lot. In that moment, whoever that was, whatever that was, it's like, you got this, you can do it. I didn't take it like an insult. I didn't take it like it was calling me out. I took it as like, no, man, reach deep down inside and pull this out. And that was the moment that changed everything for me. And, you know, John can tell you, man, I you know, we were there for another, John went in the next night. And, you know, the next day when we were wrapping up, he found me crying on the corner outside from across the house. And he came over to me. He's like, "We entered this world crying, you know," and it was a profound change. And I had to go sit in a church across the street and kind of like, it was deep, man. You know, it was really, really deep. So if that was me, you know, it was to tell me, "Hey, man, you got this." And that just doesn't go for that particular place. That goes in general.
You know? I love that answer. I love that answer, and I think you should just run with it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Honestly, I think that you should just say that that was me, and I found myself at a weak moment, and I needed the ultimate boost to confidence, and so I came back and gave that to myself as a gift to help me. Because I agree with you 100%. When you were sitting there asking those questions, dude, when we were watching it, I thought you were going to seize out, man. Your hand, you were shaking so bad, and I don't mean that in a bad way at all. I mean, but you were shaking so violently. I'm watching the TV, and I'm like, damn, he's going to stroke out, man. He's going to either seize out or stroke out, or something bad's going to happen. He's got to get it under control. Because, I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. You were, man, you were on the edge, brother. I'm telling you what. You were on the edge.
That place had worked me all day. And it was, if you've never been, they do ghost tours through that place. For me, it was one of the most profound places. And I'll go back, but then I wonder if that was me, then when did I do that? You know? When was that? I don't know. It's so bizarre.
Isn't that the same place where John was provoking upstairs in that room with the doors and he got scratched really bad in the back?
Yeah, he got pushed and then he got scratched. And
he had a big scratch.
And all three of them went all the way, literally all the way down his back.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because John, you know, the spirits handled me differently than they handled John. John comes with a different kind of weight. And I think he also carries with him death in a way. And I think they're really they challenged him differently, you know. I didn't get pushed in that place. He got pushed really hard. And it was interesting, you know, the dichotomy, you know, when we first started, John, you know, had up all these walls and he thought he had seen everything. And by the end of our shooting, he was like, hey, let's go, you know, what's going on? Oh, my God. And he was screaming, too. And or like the night at Holmesburg Prison when they literally took him out. And then, you know, it was terrifying. But one of the coolest, most profound experiences in my life was shooting that show. Thanks to Nick Roth for putting that together and putting John and I together. And that was kind of really what spurred this into what I do now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you should go back there.
I will. And I hadn't really thought about it till this weekend. And I'm like,
Yeah, I got to go too. It's on my list. It's on my top five list.
I was just going to say in chat, if you need any backup, Dave and I are there.
Thank you. But
absolutely.
Feel like they need to set it up again to where I have to go in there by myself and face it once again. I don't know. It's
rule number one, Chad, you never investigate alone.
I know. That was the whole thing, too, when we were shooting the show. You know, people are like, you're insane. And I'm like, yeah, I guess that I am.
But the beauty part about doing that is when you're all by yourself, that's when you're the most vulnerable and you get the absolute best true contact.
It's very, very true.
Yeah, it is. Look at Mike. It's just like, yeah. Yeah, I don't need that. I'm above that. But I'm being honest. It's not so much documented evidence wise, you know what I'm saying? Like you can catch really great documented evidence with a whole bunch of people in the room.
Totally, yeah.
It's more on that subversive personal level that you actually feel like you're getting touched internally, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
You know, like that, like they're reaching into you and communicating with you in a way that does not happen when there's eight people in the room.
Absolutely, because I tell you, we're a lot more confident when we're standing next to somebody in the room.
Yeah.
You know, but everybody's like, you know, somebody has to go back in the building. You're like, I don't know. Yeah, why don't you come with me? You know, look, I still get really terrified and scared in certain places and feel uneasy, and that's the whole idea.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Dave, did you have anything else? Because we only have about 10 minutes left.
I've got more questions. I mean, do you want to throw something out there?
No.
Okay. Nope. All right. So I'll throw this one out there because this is kind of a fun one, too. So if you could be the next great inventor of – if you could be the next inventor – I won't say great inventor. If you could be the next inventor of – the next great paranormal device, okay, mm-hmm. What would it measure and why is that important to you?
Wow. Good question. I don't know. I would maybe some glasses where you can actually see spirits once you put them on.
Ooh, like 13 ghosts.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it is? Okay, I've never seen that movie. I know of it, but
yeah, you should watch it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I might have to now that I said.
Yeah, they put the glasses on and they can see. That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool concept.
Well, there you go. So that I didn't know about that. So
I guess that's cool.
I'm in line with 13 ghosts. But yeah, like, you know, glasses where you can put on and be like, oh, you know. Again, though, if we were able to truly see what was around us all the time, we would go into shock.
I think you'd go insane, to be honest with you.
You'd go insane.
I think you would.
And forget about just ghosts and all that stuff. I mean, think about all the creepy crawly things crawling around, weird things.
Interdimensional beings, things that you've never seen before that you have no idea that they even exist.
Yeah. Or maybe like, a device that you can put on your ear, that you can, I don't know, that you can just hear them and talk, not through like a device where it's choppy and you get some sort of like
an interdimensional communicator.
Yeah, where you just like you're talking, you're BSing.
Well, see, no, that's a great. I like that one. Right, so yeah. You'd almost be like a disembodied voice conversation, but instead of only being that little bit of energy burst to give the disembodied voice, you'd be able to have that all the time.
Conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
Talk about a long distance call.
Right.
Ba-do-ching.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, I was just sitting here. I'm like, should I? Should I? And yes, I should.
And you did.
Sorry. Okay, so here's my follow-up question to that one. Then, let either the glasses or the earpiece. How do you think what do you think we would need in order to actually build something like that?
Man, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. I'm so not the guy to put stuff together. My mind does not work in a technical fashion. It does not work in a. I don't know. I go off of the instinct and feeling. And so my hat goes off to the people who can figure these things out and the science behind it.
Yep.
I just kind of act like a vessel. That's my strong point. But yeah, I wouldn't know where to begin to build a car I wouldn't know where to begin. I would love to learn, but man, my mind just doesn't work in that fashion.
Yeah, don't feel bad. Mine doesn't either.
Yeah, no, math, out the window. Science, out the window.
Yeah, no, engineering, out the window.
Window.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing engineering qualities. I have no engineering qualities in any way, shape, or form. Yeah. None. Be the first one to admit it. Yeah. I can think freely and come up with some really great off-the-wall ideas. And then I just pass them along because that was it, man. That was my contribution. Yeah. It was the idea. The potential concept. Take it and run with it. Have fun with it. Let me know how it comes up,
All right. So with the time that we have left.
I like the earpiece, though. I like that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Or like Star Trek, where you can just tap on on your insignia.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And hear them talking and, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I would want the glasses, to be honest with you, because then it goes right back to the whole Amy Allen scene and all that stuff, and then not being able to flush it out of your mind.
And then you can't unsee that.
Right, exactly, because once you've seen it, it's always going to burn it in your brain. I'll do the communication thing, though. I think that'd be very cool.
I'll send one.
Well, all
right. That'd be fun. Yeah, someone over. We'll talk long distance.
Thank you, Dave, for that homage. But there's a difference between just having the glasses and then being able to do what Amy Allen does. Because she not only sees it, she gets the impressions of it. She feels it. I mean, it would pretty much be like you're at a live play. You're just kind of watching it happen.
Yeah.
I don't think that would so much blow your mind as to what, she actually encounters.
I can imagine there's some things out there visually. I couldn't really care less what they have to say. Just the visual of seeing some of the things that I know are around me. I don't need that image in my brain moving forward.
That, and I would imagine, if you guys have been doing this a while, when you have a real heavy experience, it should, and it usually does, knock the wind out of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That would seem to happen a lot if you had those. I don't know. It blows my mind. It just everything.
So Chad, for the record,
yeah.
Now, because you made a promise to us.
Oh yes.
Last time you were on the show, you still have not seen an apparition.
I have not recently. Did we talk about it a while back?
You promised us that the next exclusive. When you actually saw your first apparition, you were going to come back on the show immediately.
Exclusive
to say it, talk about it. Now you're saying
the one that I saw was probably way before I even started doing this, and I don't know why that escaped me last time we talked. But since then, since I've actually been doing this, I have not had the full lock eyes. Yo, what's up? I'm here. You're here. We're communicating and eye contact. You know what I mean? Eye contact, yes. a whole different deal. I have not had that. So the exclusive is still happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel better now. I'll sleep better tonight.
Okay, cool.
Right.
You were getting the eye there, Chad, for a second. Thought you'd lie to us.
They get exclusive. Okay,
I've
explained that to Lindsay.
Good. Yeah. Good. So I think this is the first show she's actually listened to.
That was Mike.
She's coming back in.
That was Mike.
Just saying, Lindsay. All right. So at the time we have left, we got about 5 minutes. Chad, why don't you tell us kind of what you have going on in the future, where people can see you, and just kind of what you're going to be up to running, you know, the next couple months.
Oh, cool. Well, thank you. I got a few events coming up. Next year. For right now, I'm pretty much going to go home and sleep the holidays away, and I cannot wait. But the next year, February 16th, let me go ahead and rephrase that. February 16th, I'll be at the Old Exchange Ghost Hunt, and that is with Grant Wilson and Carol Cleveland from Haunt Me. And I've gotten to work with Grant a few times now. Oh, he's the greatest. And I'm excited to work with Carol. And let's see, is that the only one I got coming up? Oh, okay. But there will be more. There will be more. There's a lot more. I can't go too long without doing or going to a really haunted place, because it's terrifying as haunted places are, locations, it's the one thing that actually grounds me and makes me come back to Earth. You know, as funny as that is,
I totally get it. You know, it fills part of the internal cup, so to speak.
What's that? I'm sorry.
I said it fills kind of the internal cup. You know, everybody has their little internal cup.
It does. You know? Absolutely.
Love fills part of it, and you know, success fills part of it, and kids fill part. You know, whatever. You know, whatever everybody's little fill cup is. You know, part of mine is also going to haunted locations and getting part of that gets filled. You know.
Yeah, and it brings you to the moment. I mean, you can't. Everyone drops their BS when you have an experience. You
absolutely.
Can't, you know what I mean? Your authentic self comes out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nope, I would agree. 100%.
So, Chad, if people want to get a hold of you, you know, maybe they have a question. Maybe they want an event for you to attend to an event. Whatever. How would they do that? What was the best way to do that?
Sure. As far as like my events and what I have coming up, I would say go to Center Stage Events. That's Center with an S, and I'm on her website, and you know, she's got a lot of amazing paranormal talents. I'm always there, and she definitely keeps up to date on my dates. Other than that, I'm always on social media, you know, Twitter and Instagram. People can find me at Chad Lindberg. And I love when people reach out. I love when people, especially when they have questions about the paranormal or they need advice. I love that. So I encourage people to reach out always.
Excellent. Well, yeah. I think that does it for us for tonight. Cause I'm cutting this short just because if we get into anything else, it's going to be another hour and I'm going to get kicked off the air.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on, and thanks for the laughs and the fun questions. And you guys will get the exclusive when I see that apparition.
Sweet. I'm going to hold you to that.
Yeah, so. I know. And you should. Please do.
Thank you. I don't know why everybody thinks we're doing them a favor by coming on our show.
We're moving up. That's all I can say. We've moved up from where we were a year ago. We have moved up a little bit because we're getting thanked. Even Grant Wilson thanked us. I mean, you know, yeah. There's been some people have thanked us. I'm like, oh yeah, not a problem.
But from us to you, thank you for making the time to do it.
Absolutely.
I know you just got done with a very fun, busy weekend, and I really appreciate you making the time to come on. I agree. This was a very, very fun show.
always is. And we have laughs, but we also get to, like, deep stuff, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, for Dave and myself, The Shadows is coming up next. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back next week with a brand new show. So, everybody, have a good week. Have a good Thanksgiving. And we'll see you next week.